said, strive lawfully for the crown. You got to strive for the crown. We're not looking for earthly things here. We're looking for heavenly things. And God said, if we live like this good soldier and we do the things that he say, we're going to have a crown of life. It's going to be a crown. And whatever you, what all you want on that crown, you got to make sure that you start working for it right now. Because the Bible says you have what you say. If you want diamonds and rubies, start saying it. I want diamonds and rubies on my crown. And then work for it. And God will give it to you. You know? It says, consider what I say. And he says, it is the truth. Remember, make Christ's resurrection a chief theme of the gospel. This is the same word we have to do today. We have to remember to make Christ's resurrection the chief theme of the gospel. Because how many know without him dying on the cross, being resurrected, and now seated on the right hand of the Father, we wouldn't even have a gospel. So this has to be our chief thing that we remember when we're teaching and preaching and we're doing all the things that we're supposed to do. We have to remember, first of all, we got to make Christ's resurrection the chief theme of the gospel. Without him, we would have nothing. And in verse 9, Paul says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bounds, but the word of God is not bound. Saints of God, you got to know that the word of God is not bound. You can't bind God's word. God's word is all power, and it cannot be bound. We might be bound. Satan might have us bound and in a stranglehold. But saints of God, God's word is not bound.
Evangelist Wonder Bear. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wonder Bear. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wonder Bear or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884.
But when we put it all together,
Alexandria,
this is what we like to call you, Jesus.
71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1. In the word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I want to share with you, as the writer reminds us, that correction comes when one cares. And the Lord loves us and the Lord cares for us. And as a result of that, we must understand that if you are a child of the Most High God and there is disorder in your life, that God will correct you as your heavenly Father because he loves you. One of the things that I think is so important for us to recognize in the text is the admonition to the believers to understand how God deals with his children. Not looking at the world system and the world's ways of correcting or discipline, but to look at it in terms of our Heavenly Father's perspective on how to make sure his children are walking, talking, and living according to the word, the will, and the way of God. When God says something to his children, the world may hear and not heed, and nothing in the instant of the moment may be done about it. But when God speaks to his children and his children don't heed, there is something that raises up in God. It rises to a level that disappoints God to the point that God cannot allow disobedience and disorder to continue when you call yourself his child. Because God loves us, he expects us to live on a standard far above the standard of the world. People of God are not to compare themselves to the people of the world. Matter of fact, disorder is the order of the day for the children of chaos and for the children of the enemy. They live in a chaotic spirit. They exist to not only cause confusion, but be a part of confusion. Drama is a part of their daily lives. But we are called to be the children of peace and peacemakers and to live with all men with as much peace as in us is. And so we need to recognize God expects from us a difference from those of the world. And so when the writer of the Hebrews is dealing with this particular verse, he just comes out of helping us to understand that there are witnesses who have come before us that have set standards and have operated in the order of God. And he talks about how we ought to release all of the things that keep us from running the race the way that we ought to. Let go heavy weights, let go sin. He keeps on talking about looking to the example that is the greatest example that man has ever known, and that is Jesus Christ, and how Jesus gave himself for the joy who we are. In other words, he was sent to save us so that God could have his chiefest creation returned and restored back to him in a grace that is befitting the children of God. And he is the example who spared not his own blood nor his own life, but in totality gave all of him to gain all of you. And so when he deals with this, he continues on to tell us to consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Listen at this. And he made it clear so that we who call ourselves children of God might not faint in our minds when the time of testing comes for us. In other words, when you think about what Jesus has done for you, there ought to be nothing you can't do for him. When you think about how Jesus stood up in the face of the enemy to claim you back to God, there ought not be anything you could not stand up for him in this world and be a representative of. It tells us consider what he did for us so that we can consider what we need to do for him. Now listen at this.
And then the record is clear that we have not yet, listen, resisted unto blood, striving against sin in that fourth verse. In other words, the writer is saying, listen, whatever sacrifices we have made, they don't compare to the sacrifice Jesus made. So whenever you think it's hard to live right, when you think it's hard to do right, when you think it's hard to be right, then you look at Jesus and consider what he did and tell me if your hardness comes close to the hardness Jesus had to endure to pay for your salvation. Is there anybody in the house? So the next time you are asked to represent him, to walk for him, to live for him, to talk for him, to stand as a true believer, a light in darkness, the next time you ask to give or to live in such a way that Jesus is honored and exalted, the next time you're supposed to be the representative when no one else is speaking up for Jesus, don't consider it hard. Consider what he had to do to pay for your salvation. But when he gets to the fifth verse here, the writer says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh to you as unto children. Now this is what he's saying. Now you have forgotten the instructions that were left or given to you as children of the Most High God. You see, we don't forget a lot of other things, but somehow in the midst of our operating in the world's system, we forget we are in the world, but not of the world. We can't get so caught up in the world that we forget we are pilgrims here. We are sojourners here. We are on our way home. We are not home. We can't get so comfortable in this world that we forget that we're not here to be a part of them, but to remind them that the real truth of our being here is that we can help save them who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ before he comes back to rapture up his church and take his people home. We must recognize, listen again, that there must be operation in our lives that mimics the operation that was in Jesus' life when he was here on planet Earth. We ought to occupy till he comes what he showed us, what he taught us, what he made an example of for us in the earth realm. Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh to you. What does that mean? We've forgotten what we've learned about who we are and whose we are. The way some of us act in this world. Listen at what the word says now. He says, which speaketh unto you as unto children. Children of who? Children of the Most High God. Listen at how he says it. My son, term of endearment, because you belong to God. And everything God considers his, he takes personally. He covets it and he covers it with his protection and with his love. But not just that, he covers it and protects it, but he also chastens it and corrects it for discipline's sake so that it can be honorable first among those things that God has given us to be honorable in. But meaning first God and his word and his spirit and the operation of those things. And so he says, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. So what he's saying is, children of God, don't get mad, don't get upset when God straightens you out. You see, you really begin to see the character of a person when they are corrected. You see, when God corrects those whom he loves, one, he has a right to correct them. Two, he has a responsibility to correct them. And when you begin to recognize that God is within his right as our Heavenly Father to correct us when we are out of order, but not only is he within his right, but he is responsible for correcting us because he cares for us. Listen, if he did not correct us, then he would have to deal with us as those who have no correction. And in other words, he'd have to treat us as the devil's children. And so because he doesn't want to treat us in the end as the devil's children, he straightens you up now as his children. Listen at this. That means when we don't respond and react to the word of God the way God wants us to, we bring shame on his name. Especially when you talk about I love the Lord and I surrender all and all of these things we talk, and then we go act like people in the world and of the world and those who are connected to the world, and we disappoint and disrespect God, and God cannot have that. And so he, old folks say, he pulls our coat. Yeah, but I got news for you. He does more than pull your coat. Because some of us don't wear coats for him to pull. So he deals with us in a manner that lets us know that we are loved. Now listen at this, because, you know, this is very controversial, because in the world we live in today, there are experts in raising children who tell you that you can correct your child, but not to really any effective means, meaning many times without having to use a rod. Now, I understand you might have a child that you can correct without using a rod. God bless the child. Because there are certain levels of character and characteristics in certain children, and there are certain tendencies in certain children, and let me be real, there are certain spirits in certain children that all, listen, depends on where they are, what they do, what is a part of their makeup. That depends on the action needed to correct them. Now you don't use brute force on a child that just needs a small amount of correcting. So the parent must know how to correctly correct a child. You don't just go off and just lose your mind because the child burnt the toast. No, you show the child and you help the child and you instruct them, and then you show them again, and then you teach. Now, if the child burns the toast because the child is not paying attention and so forth, then one of the corrections could very well be is you let them eat the toast without scraping off the burnt. And when they say they don't like it, well, you say, you're the one, let it burn. And maybe they'll pay a little more attention. But you don't, give me the belt, get me the belt. And then you go wear the child because they did that. But when the child does not heed correction and done in the proper manner, then the level of force or correction or discipline should be brought to the level of disobedience. That's the word. spare the rod, spoil the child. I don't care what the world says about their methods and what's politically correct. Politically correctness ain't gonna judge me when I get to glory. My Heavenly Father is. See, some little children don't know what time out is. They don't respond to but then again, time out could be a blessing to some children. Go to your room that has a computer, that has DVR, that has stereo, that has games and all. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? That has cell phone, no more telephone, cell phone got all. You go to my room, you just giving me time to enjoy the things I enjoy doing. But when we learn how to apply the correct discipline with those who are not applying true instructions, then it is so that we can correct their attitude, their actions, and their ambitions. Because if we don't correct them now, they're going to continue to live and grow in that wrong way. And then they get to the point where they cannot be corrected without breaking. See, when they start going wrong, then you got to learn how to straighten them back up. Otherwise, they start growing crooked. And if you let them grow crooked long enough, when it's time to try and straighten them, that's usually when you get in front of other people. Then they embarrass you, and then you want to try and break them. Well, that's the wrong time. You should have done it when they were doing it at home and in your presence. So listen at this. He says, the writer of the Hebrews says, he says, my son, despise not thou, listen, the chastening of the Lord, the correcting of the Lord. Don't get bent out of shape, because God is straightening you up. He's doing that because he loves you. But look at what the rest of it says. It says what? Nor what? No, look, don't give out. Don't just, you know, fall out because he's rebuking you. Because when he rebukes you, that is a show of love. It may be tough love, but it's love nonetheless. Because when you know right from wrong, the rebuking is in order. If you don't know right from wrong, then instruction is in order. But once you've gotten instruction and you don't obey the instruction, then rebuking is now in order. How you gonna rebuke a child for something you didn't teach the child? You know how some of you get in front of company, you won't try and teach the child in front of company, but you hadn't taught him at home, so you rebuke him in company, and the child rear up at you in the middle of whatever you're going through. You bring that on yourself, because you didn't straighten them out or teach them or instruct them or inform them at home. Because if you did at home, only a look. Now, y'all, some of y'all can't see by way of, you know, radio and media minis and stuff like that, but you know what your parents would do. And parents, you know, look, if we were acting up, and I have one of my siblings here with me now, if we were acting up and we were out somewhere, my mother had a way of biting that bottom lip. And the straightness of Jesus came in us. We knew what that meant. She just had to bite that bottom lip. She didn't even let anybody know what I'm talking about. You might have known what your parents' certain thing was, but you knew if you kept on in that vein, the worst of mother was going to come out to bring out the best in you. But God, listen. God rebukes his children. Why? Because he does not want you to be like the children of the world. And I don't have time now to deal with the 6, 7, and 8 verses, but you go through them, and yet I'll just give you just a hint of what they're saying. It's saying, and listen, it's because of the love that parents have for their children, that God has for his children, that he rebukes his children out of love. Some people rebuke you, some people correct you just for criticism's sake. Not for any good to come out of. They just love sitting in the seat of the scornful and being, you know, professional critiques of the worst kind. Then some folk criticize you because they like condemning you. They just want to point out your shortcomings, point out your wrong, point out your weakness, but not with the intention of helping or changing you, but rather to hurt you. But God does not do that to his children. When he corrects you, it's because he cares for you. And so what if it embarrasses you now? It's going to save you later. It's going to save you later. And what it is that he's doing in you now is so that you'll recognize that is not the way he expects children who bear his name to act or operate representing him. And I've got news for you. Any real parent who does any real parenting will make sure that if their children are not acting the way that they should be, that they do something about that, because not only does it show that the child does not have the kind of upbringing that it should have, but it also points back to the parent not doing the parenting job that the parent don't love your child so much that you want to be your child's friend rather than your child's parent. Heard a child tell them, yeah, you're not going to be my friend. You're right. I'm going to be your mama. I'm going to be your daddy. I ain't trying to be your friend. Your friend don't pay your bills, your school, your food, the air to cool you, the heat to warm you, clothes on your back, roof over your head. Yo, and all of the other creature comforts, that your friends don't do that. Your parents do that. And when I tell you do something, you do it. Don't question me. Don't ask me. Don't tell me you're going to get to it later. Get your ass, as I tell you. You move, and you move with the quickness. And if you ask me any questions, ask me how you want me to do it better than how I was going to do it. Now, you got a problem with that, see the Lord. Because if more parents would do like the older parents would have done in the olden days, we'd have better children today. If the parents today would correct their children and not let them talk anyway, they'd respect people. They wouldn't cuss people out. They wouldn't act like they ain't got no sense. They wouldn't dress like they're crazy. They wouldn't treat people any kind. If I got a witness in the house, teachers wouldn't have problems in the classrooms with your ungodly, bad acting children, because you don't. And when the teacher calls you, you want to come jump on the teacher who's trying to treat that ignorant child you got with some learning. If you don't want to learn, don't stop others who are trying to learn.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow.
Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info